welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shirtless. The show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's repeated on Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., also Eastern Standard Time. You can also pick up the show on Podomatic.com. Just put in Camp Constitution, and we're pretty prompt about getting these shows up on the Podomatic account. And also on YouTube, visit Camp Constitution's YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe and share the videos. And it is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. Next year's camp will be in the beautiful Berkshires of Massachusetts from July 28th to August 3rd. We have a guest on the line, as we almost always do, and his name is William Brown from Connecticut. And William called yesterday. I was guest hosting a show with my friend Tom Moore, the Lori and Liberty show. And you called in, which you're a regular contributor to that show. But you mentioned something that I think is vitally important. And this is something dealing with the Persecuted Christians, Save the Persecuted Christians Coalition. And you had a number, the email that you sent me had numerous pictures, sort of displays, of Christians around the world being persecuted, massacred, tortured, etc. So, Bill, can you talk about this organization that you're involved in and what listeners can do to help get the word out?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks so much, Hal, for having me on the show. And the show you had on Lori's program, Lori on Liberty, was fantastic yesterday. You always have so many great guests.
Thank you.
Giving us a lot of deeper understanding into our Constitution and what we can do today to preserve it. But, yeah, I've been working with a number of organizations, particularly lately a group called Save the Persecuted Christians, and they have created an exhibit of, like, vertical banners which present the story, briefly, of persecution of Christians in numerous countries around the world, like Pakistan, Sudan, Nigeria, China, etc.
And Mexico, I noticed.
Oh, yes, Mexico. It's really rough down there in Mexico for Christians. Most people don't realize that. The drug cartels, even the government, are just constantly murdering Christians, believing Christians, to be honest with you. And but anyway, the organization was sort of inspired by something called it started in actually 1960s and 70s, the Cleveland Campaign for Soviet Jewry. And what happened is a number of synagogues all across the country had got together these banners and images to try to help Soviet Jews get out of the Soviet Union. And it really took off, and as it spread across the country, it got the attention of President Reagan and eventually the Soviet Union. You know, Reagan put a lot of financial or economic pressure on the Soviet Union because of their human rights abuses, not allowing the Jews to leave, etc. And it was amazing what they accomplished. So along with other inspirations, this group is putting these banners out, and we're running these exhibits across the country. I first ran into the exhibit at the Christians United for Israel summit in Washington, D.C., which every year attracts over 5,000 Christians and others to stand with Israel and go to congressional halls to speak up and lobby for Israel. So when I was there, I noticed this absolutely, it was just like breathtaking display. It was about 24 banners, which just gives a concise picture of what it's like to live in a Christian in so many of these countries. As an example, we see in Pakistan these blasphemy laws, and a woman by the name of Asia Bibi has been in solitary confinement for 9 years because she allegedly said something against Muhammad. In a group of women. She was the only Christian in a small community, and the women didn't want to give her water. They were giving her a hard time. And it's understood that she said, well, I'm continuing to believe in Jesus for what he's done for me. What has Muhammad done for you? And it started a small little riot, and they put her in jail and said she had blasphemed Muhammad, and she's been there for all these years, and just it's been in the news lately a lot because she was recently acquitted after eight to nine hard years of international groups trying to get her out because the blasphemy laws in Pakistan, I think, are some of the worst in the world. And there have been, even the governor of Punjab was assassinated in 2011 because he spoke out that the country should not continue with these blasphemy laws because they're so harsh, and the slightest of things end you up in solitary confinement or execution. So there was another the only Christian member of the federal cabinet in Pakistan. He spoke out against the laws, and he also was assassinated. So
wow.
Recently, this was some years ago also, but recently she was released because of all the international pressure, but the rioters went to the streets. They were blocking roads, stopping schools and all this, and the Christians were all afraid because in the uproar, they start beating up on Christians, dragging them out of their cars, etc. There are all these horrible reports. So the government decided to keep Asia Bibi in, instead of letting her leave the country, keep her aside and reconsider the release. And then it was recently in the news that the UK would not even allow her to come to England because they were afraid of the riots that might start in England, if you can believe that. So that's just one small example of what goes on. But I can share a few other insights.
I recall an incident in Afghanistan where an Afghani had converted to Christianity, and he was going to be executed. And I think eventually Italy offered to take him in. And this was about 10 of this was during the George W. Bush administration. They wouldn't want to take him here in this country. We will take hundreds of thousands of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating. That's not a problem. But bring in one Christian who's being persecuted, whose life's literally on the line, and you need not apply. And that just shows the hypocrisy. I noticed. I was very. Now you say there are about how many banners?
24. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 24. And you have.
Yes. Yeah. I have them in Connecticut. We're moving them around from church to church. We're showing them in East Lyme on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at the Shoreline Church there, 287 Shore Road. And then we're going to be moving them up. We have something in Summers 2 weekends from now, and then also the Presbyterian Calvary Church in Enfield will be showing the banners and having a prayer service, I believe, on January the 20th. That's sort of in the works. But as we go on, there'll be more places where they'll be shown. My email is citizensinchrist@gmail.com if anyone wants to send me an email to find out where these locations will be. Again, that's citizens, just like the word citizens, then I-N, and then christ@gmail.com, citizensinchrist@gmail.com.
And these banners are what, like 4 feet by 6 feet, or?
Well, they're probably 2 feet by probably 6 feet. Yeah, it's like
2 feet. Yeah,
and they just give a little synopsis of the various circumstances. Like in Turkey, there's not 2% Christians left. There's only 0.02% Christians left in Turkey. I mean, we think that. I know Pat Robertson always says that they're called the weak man of Europe, but there's not. They're so weak that there's only 0.02% of Christians. And of course, this is after the Armenian genocide of 1915, where the Turks killed 1.2 million Christians. So,
well, I've read up on that. Yeah, I've read up on that subject. And what's interesting is that, we have our divisions in the Christian world, theological divisions, which that's well and good. And some folks in the Christian community won't associate with other Christians because of their theology. But when it comes to killing Christians, the Muslims don't say, oh, well, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. I won't kill you. I'm just going to kill Baptists and Catholics. Oh, you're a Catholic. Oh, don't worry about it. We're just killing Protestants. I have to say the Muslims don't discriminate when it comes to killing Christians. They don't care what denomination you belong to, what church you belong to, and what your theology is. If you believe in the post-trib, mid-trib, or no-trib, they're going to kill you. Is that pretty much how it worked in Armenia with the Turks?
Well, absolutely. And as well, Muslims will kill Muslims, too, because as Glenn
That's
Beck
true.
Said once, they kill Muslims that are not Muslim enough. So
That's right.
Unfortunately,
I mean, if they don't have Christians to kill, they'll kill each other.
Yeah, it's quite a, dramatic religion, because they have in Sharia and the scriptures, they have instructions that if someone leaves Islam or their version of Islam, they should be killed. That's what Muhammad said in one of the hadiths. And actually, the Pew Research Foundation took an interview or poll of in Egypt and in Jordan, and unbelievably, 80% of the general population answered the Pew Research poll, should your family member who leaves Islam be killed? 80% yes said yes. So
Amazing.
that's pretty
And this
much of
is
an
Egypt,
unfortunate
which is
thing.
supposed to be, Egypt is a little bit more moderate. They do have the Coptic Christian Church, which is it 5 to 10% of the country's population? Do you know offhand?
Yes, I would say approximately, it probably, yeah, I'm closer probably to 5%. But the every week they are constantly being, last week it was 17 pilgrims were murdered by jihadis in the last week or two, and they're constantly burning down churches. One of our banners talks a little bit about that. These banners are rather stark. They have pictures of the blood splattered all over the churches and whatnot in Egypt. So, the message on these banners, like I said, they are rather tart, because we need to wake up the Christian churches to what's happening, because our Christians in the West are not really responding. And I know a number of Jewish people have asked me personally why Christians are not doing anything about this. Why are Christians not speaking up on an international level and trying to do something to reverse this? So this is one of the movements. Well, I don't say nothing. I mean, there are certainly organizations like Open Doors and the
Right.
International Christian Concern, and Now Save the Persecuted Christians. So there are a number of efforts, but we need to wake the church up to what's happening, and the banners are there to do that, to sort of just give the stark picture of what it's like in these countries.
I should point out too that it's not just Muslim countries that are doing this, and there are some leaders
Absolutely.
in a few of these Muslim countries, like Assad, that have protected the Christians. So I don't want to do a blanket condemnation of every single Muslim. That's not the case. But you have
That's
communist
correct, yes.
countries, North Korea, Cuba, China, not communist China, and it's interesting that we many politicians in this country in both major parties have a love affair with the Chinese communists. I know here in Boston, where I live, they fly the communist flag of China on the city's flagpole. A private organization actually initiates it, but many of our city's leaders, city council, mayors, all there in an official capacity praising the revolution. And go to North Korea. And it's well, you're talking about how very few Christians in the West speak out against it. I remember reading Pastor Wimbrand's book, Torture to Christ. He was from Romania, I believe, and he had spent so many years in a communist hellhole prison simply because he was a Christian minister. And when he was he would mention this. He mentioned that we are all a body of Christ, every single Christian. And even if you're not a Christian, but you're you happen to be a Jewish person of faith, or anybody, any decent human being should speak out against persecution of anybody, regardless. Persecution is persecution, and it's always almost always done by government or with the government's approval, or they simply turn their back and allow it to happen. That's the case. But last summer, Boston, I was at City Hall. And the city of Boston had, I think, 50 large pictures of intolerance showed to Muslims. And again, I'm not in favor of being intolerant to anybody. People walk by the street, they wear their garb, and that's not right for me to say anything to them, to harass them. But I'm putting the city on. I want to put them on notice. I said, fine, you do that. You did that display. It was up there for 2 weeks, right in the city hall. Now you have an obligation to do this. And I actually got a hold of, I sent an email to my city council this morning with about 12 of those pictures that you had sent in the email. And I said,
Good.
which one of you will be the first one to sponsor this? I will provide the transportation and the setup and the breakdown. And
Yeah, we'd be
as
glad
Howie
to.
Carr, it's when I don't hear back, it's them not respond. I don't think they want to do this because it will be offensive to the beloved Muslim community here in Boston and to the Chinese communist community. So I'm wondering, Now, are you familiar with the Falun Gong people?
Oh, yes. They're also heavily persecuted in China.
Yes. I've become friends with some of them in the Boston area, and I haven't seen them lately. No, I'm not in downtown Boston every weekend, but sometimes you would see their practitioners, and there are people who are Chinese as American practitioners, and it's not a religion. It's sort of a meditation philosophy. Most of the people I know are very decent people, peace-loving and so forth. But they would put on these displays. They would actually have a real, like a cage, and sort of have a couple of people sitting in them. They said this is the size of the prison cell that some of the Falun Gong practitioners and the organ harvesting. And not only that, but they were actually Chinese agents were in this country beating up Falun Gong practitioners. So it's really something that's quite brutal. And as a Christian, we have an obligation to speak out inside with the Falun Gong people and other groups. And unfortunately, we're silent. So I'm very excited to see what you're doing in Connecticut. And I think this show is heard around the United States, around the world. And there are organizations. This organization is a nationwide organization that you're involved in, correct?
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I would encourage your listeners to go to SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. Just put that into your browser, and you can find all the banners. You can find the other things that we are doing on there with information to find out more about the specifics on different nations with persecuted Christians. There are resources. You can actually get a free banner for your church, which is like it's a long vinyl kind of roll-up that you can put out in front of the church to bring attention to saving the persecuted Christians for free. And then you can sponsor one of these exhibits for your church or a group of churches. And that's what we did in Connecticut. We brought the exhibit up here, and we're sharing it with all the churches. We're hoping to move it on up to Massachusetts soon. And Hal, if you're able to get it into the Boston City Hall or wherever, we'll be glad to accommodate you. We might end up having to get another exhibit, another set of banners. But we're moving it up into the New England area. And again, people can look at the website, and they can see a lot of good information on there.
Now, did your local chapter actually purchase these banners and the displays?
Yes, we were involved with a person who was doing as a donor, and some of us here were making a contribution. So when you go online, you can see what the cost would be for the exhibit itself. But, like I said, they give the Save the Persecuted, it's like a long vinyl kind of poster kind of a thing you can put up for your church for free.
I'm looking at these picture of a place that a picture you sent. It looks, it's like say 24, and I'm guessing there'd be along with the frames, which would probably be the more expensive part. It's probably what $4,000 to $5,000 for a whole set of these.
Well, they've reduced it to around $1,700 now, because there are 24 banners. They have to have a special printing company to produce them. And then they will ship them to your church or organization. And they're very profound. They just sort of grab you when you look at them.
Yeah.
What the information is and the imagery there.
When I saw these, I thought, okay, I will the city of Boston display these? I think that Hades would freeze over first before that would happen. But we have a God in heaven who is in the answer of prayer business, and he's also in the miracle business. So one never knows.
Absolutely.
I know that if you don't try, it won't happen. And if it's not going to be a big city, what about a big city church that might do it? And I'm saying this to the listeners. Go to this website, and when I upload this video in on YouTube, I'm going to put these pictures in the video so they'll actually see them. And we're looking at $1,700. And does that include the frames?
Yes. Well, what it is, they're roll-up banners because you put them on the vertical stick. They come in individual carry cases, so they're not hard to carry around. And you put them up on there's sort of like a stick kind of a thing that goes up, and then you pull the banner out like in a roll-up. It pulls up and then attaches to the
top. Oh, I see. Yep, I see what you mean.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a woman friend of ours who hosted it first here in Connecticut at Bridgeport, and she, as a woman, found it very easy just to receive them. You pull them out of the carry bag, you attach the stick upwards and attach it there, and you're all set.
Oh,
so it was really easy to display it.
That's very user friendly too. That's wonderful.
Yes,
now, I would think that it would
absolutely.
be good for people around the country, around the world actually, but they're in English, so I'm sure you can get them translated. But you could say one church or a few churches could collaborate and say, look,
Yeah, I would
we
think
put on
that would be
display.
best. Yeah, because if you get that exhibit, you want to move it on to several locations, and that's what I'm doing. I've been in touch with Gordon College, and I'm trying to reach out to North Point College and any other university areas that might be willing to put them up. I might be able to get another exhibit up into New England if we can move it ahead. So if you, I'm really thrilled that you're sharing this on your program, Hal, because I know you have a lot of people that are very genuinely concerned on this kind of thing. And if people want to be in touch with you or me on that email, we can move this thing around New England. But
Oh,
let me just
absolutely.
mention a couple. Let me just mention a couple other things here, which our banners reveal. And like in Palestine, as an example, in the 1950s, the Christian population of Bethlehem in that area was 86%. Today, it's down to 12%. This is the kind of
Wow.
persecution against Arab Christians, even though Israel itself is actually the only country in the Middle East where the Christian population is growing. All other countries in the Middle East, the Christian population is in decline, and that's a horrible statistic to think that the town where Jesus was born has gone from 86% Christians to 12%. Of course, the Muslims try to blame it on the Israeli government, which is sort of ridiculous because, like I said, that's the only country in the Middle East where it's growing. But we mentioned Turkey having only 0.02% of the population. We recently saw on the news Pastor Brunson, who was held over there for over 2 years by Turkish President Erdogan, who held him because he's trying to get the Muslim imam prophet Gulen, Gulen, out of the Poconos, because this imam prophet Gulen came here. And he started his own organization where he provides actually a charter school system in America. His charter schools are the largest charter schools system in America. But the Turkish president, Erdogan, believed that he started the, what do they call it, the coup attempt there a few years ago. And he was using Pastor Brunson as a pawn or a trading chip to get this Gulen back to Turkey. To Turkey, but President Trump, of course, wasn't going to play that game. He just put the economic pressure on him, and he coughed him up. So that was the one
Years
to see
and the
Pastor
pastor
Brunson in the White House
and the
praying for
White House
President
praying
Trump
with
later this
Trump,
moment.
and I don't think you would have seen our dear leader Obama doing something like that. I don't think I think he would still be rotting in Turkey if Obama or
Yeah.
Hillary was president. And I'm sure
Well,
that we
absolutely.
happily turn over this fellow in the Poconos, no problem. He
Yeah.
would already be gone. I mean, didn't they? There was a German couple that were homeschooling in Germany, which is verboten. It's illegal. Some of the
Yeah.
Nazi laws that they forgot to take off the books when the Nazis were taken out of power. And we were more than Obama was more than happy. I think they eventually allowed him status, refugee status, but they were more than happy to send him back without the pressure, you know. So you can
Right. Well,
come
let me
here,
just
you can.
mention that. That's an important point because actually, under the Obama administration and the supervision of the UN, with all the refugees that were coming into the United States, there was only like 1% that were Christian. So the Christian, 1 to 2%, which were Christian, fleeing not only the war in Syria but also persecution, only 1 to 2% were being allowed into the United States. And that's also true of the UK. It was a recent report likewise. The Christians are just being held back, and the Muslims are being given full tilt to bring them in. So why the policies of the UN and the United States and the UK are like that is astounding. But I believe President Trump has turned that back, opened up a little bit more of a channel for Christians to come to the United States, as opposed to this squeezing them out. And part of it is because the UN camps where the refugees from Syria go are so hostile toward Christians, because a lot of the Muslims, when they leave the control, the Sharia control of these governments, they want to leave Islam And when they get to the camps, whether they're trying to leave or they're known to be Christians, there's intense persecution against them in the refugee camps. So many of the Christians will leave the camps and live out on the streets rather than live in the camps. So then the UN just sends Muslims over to the United States or any country that they can. But and I want to mention, too, Nigeria. There were 6,000 Christians murdered just in the first part of this year, 2018. And many people are saying that's a genocide. They believe that if this spreads and gets out of control, it's going to destabilize the entire continent, because Nigeria is the largest population country in Africa. And recently there was a Muslim who became the president of the country, and he's certainly not helping this intense persecution that's coming down on the Christians in the northern part. And several people that are involved with the Save the Persecuted Christians Coalition are seeking for a special envoy from the United States to be sent to that area, because it's very destabilizing right now when you have another genocide brewing in the largest population country in Africa. It's a very dangerous time.
That's amazing. And there's a growing church in sub-Sahara Africa, which is very encouraging. And then you see Poland, for example, and Hungary. You know, they've had enough. And you know, enough's enough of this foolishness. But it looks like, though, if I was coming from another, if I was looking at it from a bird's eye view, and I would look at, I'd say, do these Christians have a death wish? Do these people in the United States and Western Europe, do they really want to destroy, you know, their traditions and culture? You know, the culture of liberty and freedom. Are they that stupid? And it's really amazing. It's you know, it's like the lack of resistance. And I tell you what, I have to blame, well, I guess you put the blame at the Christian church in general, but the various pastors and priests of these denominations that simply will not discuss this. They want to talk about relationships and talk about, these fluffy things, but you present this, oh, we're going to turn people off. You better turn people off.
I like the expression, silence is consent. And,
The left likes to use that. Silence is consent, you know. And it's interesting, too, and it's really hard for me to understand the love affair the American left has with the Muslims. And I understand, I know why, because of the common enemy, that would be folks like us. But if these left-wing people think that the Muslims ever got the popular, they don't need to have the majority. They just need to have a small minority that are very active. I don't think that they're going to be. I don't think that the average Muslim is going to look at a Unitarian as some kind of brother. You know, look at him as the enemy. You know. So anyway, so we're almost out of time.
Yeah,
we're almost out of time.
Okay,
well, can you give us give the listeners and the viewers on YouTube some contact information, and I'll put it also in the comments section too as well.
Yeah, well, the website again is SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. The exhibit is called the People of the Cross Exhibit. There's a lot of information on there. There's a letter writing campaign for widows of orphans in these countries. It's very inspirational on our website. And for locations that are coming up this winter, you can contact me. I'm Bill Brown. My email is citizensinchrist@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to let anyone know where these displays are going to be made and help you, Hal, or anybody else up in Massachusetts who wants to do one in a official city location. Or I'm thinking about maybe doing it down at the state capitol here in Connecticut. Our good friend Peter Wolfgang, who runs the Family Institute of Connecticut, he often wants to support
Excellent.
These agendas. You know, so
all right.
We'll take it from there. And likewise, Andrew Beckwith, who runs the Master's Family Institute.
Yes, yes, I know.
So, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Hal,
for
putting the word out.
And you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio on WBCQ. And until next week, may God bless you, and may you have a happy Thanksgiving.